My name is Ariel. I moved to the US at 19. I spoke no English and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
It's the Breakfast Club, the world's most dangerous morning show.
Hey!
Angela Yee is kind of like the big sister that always pokes you in the forehead.
That's not how it goes?
That's not how anything goes.
Yemi's really like a robot. One of the best DJs ever.
Believe that.
Charlamagne is the wild card.
And I'm about to give somebody the credit they deserve for being stupid.
I know, that's right.
What is wrong with you?
Listen to The Breakfast Club weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on 106.7 The Beat. Columbus's real hip-hop and R&B.
Welcome to another episode of Strictly Business, the podcast in which we speak with some of the brightest minds working in the business today. I'm Andrew Wallenstein with Variety. Debuting in theaters this weekend is the horror flick Abigail. One of the logos you'll see on screen before it begins belongs to an indie production label you've seen attached to one of the big success stories in the genre over the past few years, Project X Entertainment. Company behind the Scream franchise. On today's episode of Strictly Business, William Sherrick, one of the principals at Project X, discusses their distinctive approach to horror and what's next for the folks at X. We'll be back in just a moment.
Let's take a moment to breathe. Deep inhale. Extend your spine. Remain focused on what you're doing. If safe to do so, exhale slowly, leaning to one side. Inhale back to center. If safe to do so, exhale slowly to the opposite side. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. This message is brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
Hey, it's Zuko and Kayla from The Wake Up Call. Enjoy your podcast, but when you're done, don't forget about us. We have a radio show. We try to bring a smile to your face every morning.
We also talk to some of the hottest country stars of today, and we like to share some good news with That's What I Like.
Because Lord knows that's hard to find. When you're done podcasting your podcast, listen to us at 92.3 WCOL.
Set your preset on your radio right now, and don't forget you can listen to us online on the iHeartRadio app.
And we're back with William Sherrick, who is back on the Strictly Business podcast almost exactly 2 years after his first appearance when Project X released its very first project, the Jake Gyllenhaal action movie Ambulance. Welcome back, William.
Thanks for having me.
So, staying with the vehicular metaphors, what has the ride been like for Project X the past 2 years?
Look, we've had a ton of fun with getting to make a bunch of movies and a TV show. And, you know, it's for us, it's how do we just keep finding stories we love that people are letting us go tell.
And let's talk about those movies and that TV show. You talked about Ambulance off the top. What have been some of the others that you've produced over that time?
So we were fortunate enough to get to make Scream 5 and 6. We just finished this movie, Abigail, which comes out this weekend for Universal. We had Night Agent, which was a TV show that Sean Ryan created on Netflix. We had a little movie called Bed Rest that STX and Tubi took out, which was a ton of fun. And now we just, you know, keep trying to move forward and make more stuff.
Sure. And we'll talk a bit about all those projects, but let's start with what's coming to theaters, Abigail. Tell us a little bit about this project, how it came together, and what drew you to put this one together.
So in our quest to continue to find great stories to tell with Radio Silence.
Tell us what about Radio Silence.
So Radio Silence, the filmmakers behind Ready or Not, that I produced 5 years ago now, I guess. And then we put them on the Scream franchise on 5 and 6. We were looking for another movie to do with them. And I was talking to Peter Kramer at Universal, and they had this script that he loved that wasn't there yet. And he told me this idea about a bunch of criminals who kidnap a kid and some craziness ensues. And he sent me the script, and I said, look, it's such a good idea. Here's what we would want to do to make it a story that we think works for us and Radio Silence. What do you think? And he said, if you can pull that off, we'll make the movie. And we went away and we brought in Guy Busick to work on the script and take it to where it became the draft that we shot. And we got it there, and Universal came through and let us go make it.
And I mean, no offense, what is it about that premise that was so irresistible? Because, I mean, I don't know, doesn't scream to me, so to speak, pardon the pun, at Project X, that was such an irresistible premise.
Look, I think for us, for me especially, I think in the genre space, getting to tell really fun stories inside horror is something that I just enjoy. And I think as a group, our whole group enjoys doing. And that idea of kind of mashing up a horror movie and a kidnapping heist movie and what happens when those two meet was just a really fun idea. And then at the center of that, you put a 13-year-old ballerina vampire who set the whole thing up, is just so insane that it felt like something we could have a ton of fun with. And the idea that a group of criminals who are in the real world find out they've kidnapped this specific person, and that person then turns the tables, watching that experience for me is just crazy fun.
You had me at ballerina vampire,
right?
Maybe that should have been the title of the movie.
Well, it's definitely the marketing campaign.
But fun and horror and that mashup, talk to me about that, because, you know, it's no secret that horror is one of the few genres that seems to be fairly reliable in theaters these days. And that's saying something. But what is it about that mashup of fun and horror?
Well, I think for me, going to a movie, right, and to tie back into what you just said, which is it's one of the genres that really seems to be working theatrically, the communal experience of going to a movie, for me, is genre-wise, the enjoyment of something, regardless of the journey, is something I like when I leave a movie theater. So for the things that I want to develop, regardless of the journey I go on, at the end of the day when I leave, I want to have had a really good time. That's not to say I don't enjoy movies that don't do that, the ones that I want to develop. And I want to develop stuff that I have fun with. So the mashup of those two genres, for me, is the ultimate experience when I leave a theater, which is I can be scared, I can be sad, I can be worried. But at the end of it, there's this cathartic experience where I had a great time. That's what the fun of the mashup is for me.
Well, there's you and me, a bunch of middle-aged guys. I would imagine that's not the target audience. I would imagine fun and horror is about attracting people who are kids' ages. And that's really what appeals to Universal and studios. It's about getting an audience that turns out that's, you know, half our age, that comes in groups, that maybe wants to see it more than once. Is that really what's appealing about this genre and why it's a reliable draw?
I don't know how to answer that. I think there's probably a couple answers. I think on the development side, you have to develop the stories that you love, right? Because you have to spend a lot of time with it, and you hope that that translates. I think that the fun of horror, even though you bring up a much younger demographic, which is true, I think that they work across demographics, right? The question is my generation going to the theater as much? I don't know. I don't know those statistics. The younger generation is definitely the generation going opening weekend, right? That's what you're marketing to.
Sure.
But I think horror, the genre of horror spans all the age groups. So to pretend that I know what the kids want today, I don't know that I can answer that question, honestly, as much as it is, I believe if you make a really great genre movie, all age groups can like it and all age groups can enjoy it. And that's where casting comes in. If you look at our ensemble cast, I think that it appeals to multiple age groups. I think that having, you know, a 14-year-old ballerina vampire is a very specific choice. And all those things tie back to why I believe it works theatrically, right? Every one of those choices.
Well, we're having this conversation a week after a Ghostbusters sequel opened up pretty strongly. Number one movie. There was some concerns that it wouldn't do as well as the previous film did, which didn't do as well as some might have hoped from the kind of IP that Ghostbusters was. I think it seemed to have been positioned more as a horror movie this time than as a comedy. And I think to some degree, maybe you'll disagree, was also sort of like a mix of horror and comedy. So are you feeling good based on how Ghostbusters opened, or am I making a false comparison?
I don't think that's a false comparison at all. I think it's a fair comparison about the state of the business. I don't know if it's a fair comparison movie to movie, right? Okay. Ghostbusters, obviously a very, very well-recognized piece of IP, right? Been around for a long time. It's hard to compare that to something that we're starting from scratch. And a marketing department has a much different hill to climb. I think Universal is crushing it in our campaign. The iconic image they came up with, it for me, is spectacular. And I think they've done a great job, but I think it's hard to compare movie to movie. But I think what you are hitting on is what I'm hoping is a cultural feeling of, I want to go back to movie theaters and I want to have a good time. I don't need everything to torture me. I don't need everything to be depressing. I don't need everything to be super dark. I think we're in this place where if you're going to spend the time and money to go out with groups of people, let's go have fun. And I think that's where the two movies you can have a comparison to. I think past that, it's hard to compare those two as movies, just because on IP alone, you know, Ghostbusters feels like such a big, now partly that might be because of my childhood, and I'm a massive fan of that franchise, and I thought they did an amazing job on this new one. So I'm just a fan of that, but it's hard to compare because when you're starting with zero from an IP standpoint, you're just it's a different hill to climb.
And here we are, I think, starting from zero with IP in Abigail. I mean, look, you rebooted the Scream franchise so brilliantly, but you're not starting from zero there. You could conceivably just play it safer and reboot a bunch of old IP. Why even roll the dice with something new? Or is the whole point here that you do this right and you've got Abigail 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 coming out and that's the whole point?
I don't know that I look at the world that way. I think it's a fair question. We at Project X, and then especially when we're working with Radio Silence, you know, and this was our fourth movie together, I think that the IP thing is a corporate strategy, right? Or business strategy versus just a creative strategy. And I think that they can coexist together, right? The idea, when you see a piece of IP, if you have access to it or you can grab it or get involved in it, absolutely, it's a great business strategy. And if you have a story to tell to relaunch something, or you figure out a way in that you believe will work, great business strategy, great creative strategy. But that's for us, at least at Project X, you can't just do that. Solely because there's not enough IP out there that everybody has equal access to. And then on the other side, producing is also opportunistic, when you hear an idea that you love, or you come up with something that you want to develop, you run with it. And the hope is you can turn it into something. And this fell into that category, right? We heard an idea that there was a script that we thought was super cool that could be something awesome. And then Universal, God love them, gave us the chance to do it. And here we are. So I think they can those two ideas can coexist.
We'll be back in just a minute to talk more strategy with William Sharrock.
My simple solution to the problem was remove people from the scene and help them feel safer.
In response to attacks against Asian Americans, Maddie Park raised over $250,000 to donate cab rides to the Asian community.
There is so much more work to be done. We really need to come together and tackle this issue as a community.
Support the Asian community. Learn how at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
And we are back with William Sharrock of Project X Entertainment. William, how are you feeling here as we close the first quarter of 2024 about the theatrical business in general? There's always concerns about the viability of this business. Yes, there's been the Barbenheimers of the world, but we're still not quite where we were pre-pandemic in terms of the viability of theatrical, especially versus streaming and the like. And so I'm curious how you're feeling about the business.
Look, I think that I'm an optimist by nature. I think you kind of have to be as a producer, because no movie gets made because it should, right? You're constantly trying to get stuff made. So I'm an optimist at my core. I will always think the theatrical experience is an experience that is not going to die. I just don't believe that. I wake up not thinking about the world that way. What I do feel as we develop the stuff we're developing, we're working with the studios and the different streamers and the different financiers that we have the pleasure of working with, you do feel that there is a sentiment right now that people inside the industry really want it to work, right? Like, people really want theatrical to continue to work and grow again, which is great. The opportunity, I think, is sitting out there right now is how can you do things differently, right? How can you come up with interesting models to build a movie, make a movie, finance a movie where theatrical is part of the equation from start, whether that's inside the system or outside the system, and then taking it into the system from there, right? Whatever that is, I just feel like people are willing to be creative right now in the structure conversation, which to me is a really good sign. As you start talking to filmmakers, talent agents, everybody just feels like, okay, how do we build this to make sure we go theatrical? Because that experience is just fun. And I think we all want it to work. So I'm super positive and optimistic about it.
And I would imagine that strategic philosophy animated your recent alliance between Radio Silence and MRC?
Yes. So that was born while we were on set for Scream 5, actually. Me, Matt, Tyler, Chad, are the three partners at Radio Silence, were having a conversation about how cool it was that we were able to work with them on Ready or Not and then get them to be able to direct Scream and what that jump was. And our access to the next generation of them, right? Of these younger horror creators in that genre. And how much fun would it be if we could create a business that developed that talent at a fun price point? And MRC, just, they're unbelievable partners. They think about the world the same way we do in terms of making movies. And we went to them and said, what do you think about giving us a platform to be able to put a bunch of movies that kind of fit our DNA as we find new stories to tell in this genre with new filmmakers? and they were all in. So it just felt like the next evolution of how we all get to keep working together.
Okay. Speaking of evolution, you know, last time we talked 2 years ago, you seemed like you were out there looking for opportunities to grow the Project X business from an M&A perspective. You seem to be on the hunt for a content library, as opposed to just being in the producer for hire business. Is that ambition still on the table? Where are you with that?
100%. I think that the hardest part is there just aren't that many libraries available. You know, they've been gobbled up by different places. But from an M&A perspective, we're constantly looking at stuff. I think there are some really interesting service businesses that you could look at to create a pipeline to deliver movies better, faster, cheaper, smarter inside the system and outside the system. And, you know, some of my resume in the past, having run parts of the Deluxe Entertainment Group in the service business, lends itself to looking at those opportunities. So for me, we look at it and say, at any moment, what is the right opportunity to grow assets to be able to allow filmmakers and storytellers to tell their stories? So we will continue to look for those assets as they show themselves. You know, the pandemic was an interesting blip. The strike was an interesting blip. And as we look to the future, we'll just continue to track these opportunities and hopefully that M&A, from an M&A perspective specifically, they'll continue to show themselves.
You've also got some interesting projects coming up that don't feel like the typical genre stuff that I would consider the specialty of Project X. You've got things like the Nuremberg Project, a Fountain of Youth project with John Krasinski. Are you guys heading to Oscar land? Is this kind of a departure for Project X?
No, I don't think it's a departure. I think it is evolution as you continue to grow and build a slate, right? When you look at how you start, right? We started from zero with no projects, as most companies do, right? Unless you start with a library. So you build your slate, you start with your core friends and family, for lack of a better term, of, you know, writers, directors, and those scripts. And then as you grow your slate, you start to round out with just stories that you love. And we have the benefit of a best-in-class screenwriter as a partner in Jamie Vanderbilt, that brain never stops from an idea generation and putting words on a page in a ton of genres. So it automatically leads you into a bigger slate of diversification.
And, you know, we shouldn't elide too easily over what you've got going in the TV space. I remember 2 years ago talking about The Night Agent like it was like, oh, yeah, you're also in TV. The Night Agent is a massive hit on Netflix. And I said to you at the time, like, listen, isn't TV kind of a better business to be in than movies? And lo and behold, you've got this huge hit here. And so I kind of repeat the question I made to you 2 years ago. Why not just be focusing on TV? You could turn The Night Agent into a big franchise onto itself.
Look, I think for us, we love the TV space. We really do. But at the same time, on a producer level, we are non-writing producers in television. So it requires great showrunners to come in and build it. And, you know, Night Agent, for all the work we did do, it really is in Sean Ryan we trust. And he is just a genius. And the level of creative and operational expertise that he brings to it is why that show is what that is. Right. And so it's about finding the right ideas, the right properties, the right projects that we can take to our friends and colleagues like a Sean to create more of those. as opposed to just saying we're now 100% focused on the television business. It's a very specific space for us and requires those partners.
Well, it's a high class problem to have. I guess let's just focus on the short term. Good luck in with Abigail this weekend, and appreciate you coming back on the pod, William.
Thank you so much. Good luck. Take care.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to leave us a review at Apple Podcast or Amazon Music. We love to hear from listeners. Please go to Variety.com and sign up for our free weekly Strictly Business newsletter. And don't forget to tune in next week for another episode of Strictly Business.
My simple solution to the problem was remove people from the scene and help them feel safer.
In response to attacks against Asian Americans, Maddie Park raised over $250,000 to donate cab rides to the Asian community.
There is so much more work to be done. We really need to come together and tackle this issue as a community.
Support the Asian community. Learn how at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.